Uh-oh, he's taking a shirt off. He means business now. He's going full nude.
Fantasy football, you dealing with the best. Uh-huh. Keep it hype, authentic, just ain't nothing like the rest. With the Armchair Fantasy Show Podcast. Give advice for all the listeners to improve your stats. Yeah, yeah, we live on goingfortwos.com. Tuesdays and Fridays, this is what you want. Talking dynasties and daily drafts. And we just getting started, that ain't even the half, yeah. So go ahead, tell your friends to join. Going for two, cause no one remembers the extra point. Hey, goingfortwos.com. Armchair Fantasy Show.
What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 108 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We're here every Tuesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Periscope, and YouTube, syndicated on all major podcast networks, and of course, streaming in the Going for Two app. I am here, as always, with my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic, man. Try to talk some football.
Yes, sir. How was your weekend in fantasy this week?
It was good. I got real distracted watching the game, so I had to go.
Did we lose Ryan already? I think we already lost Ryan.
He must have killed it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get Ryan back on the podcast in just a second. Gerson, of course, you're my co-host on my Friday night show. You're going to make an appearance here on our season-long show, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I mean, I'm so good that you got to have me twice a week, right, Jeff? No, I'm just kidding. No, I did good on season-long, too. There was one league where I did a really bad mistake. I played Miles Sanders or Matt Breida. And that cost me, but whatever, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Yes, sir. I actually started Dante Pettis over Breida, so I got you beat on that one. And I lost because of it, too. It just killed me. I needed 10 points from Pettis. He couldn't get me 10 points. He got me one catch, killing me. Ryan, we got you back on the show. You back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Did I freeze? I just froze up?
You just froze up, and then we couldn't hear you. We heard your dog barking in the background, but we couldn't hear you anymore.
He's taking over my whole house. Not it was a good weekend. Had some teams with some monster scores. Having Watson and some of the other guys who blew up.
Nice.
So I was pretty excited for that. But yeah, good weekend. Got to go to the game, so I caught up with everything on Monday, fantasy-wise. So I was a little bit behind, but it was awesome.
Good stuff. And your dog is in the background there. Your dog's name is Fitz, right? That's your dog's name?
Yeah, he's a monster.
He always makes his appearance on the podcast, so...
Yeah, man, I recorded the show last night. He didn't make a peep, and he was perfect, and it wasn't a live show, of course, but we're live, so he has to mouth off. It's awesome.
Of course. Must be my voice he doesn't like so much.
He's heard some things.
Hey, Gerson, so I want to give you a chance to plug your show, the Fantasy G Podcast. Tell us when we can find that, where we can find that, et cetera.
You can find me on all podcast network. Apparently, iTunes wanted the hardest one to get approved for, but it'll be on there pretty soon. For Fantasy G Podcast, I do season longs on, I put them up on Monday night, but either, you know, for Tuesday, for Wednesday, waiver wires. And then I do the Daily Fantasy Show, which is for DraftKings, mainly. I don't really play FanDuel, but I do get plug-in on Saturday. Of course, I don't want to overlap Jeff's awesome show, so I do mine on Saturday.
Yeah, and of course, you can find him here on Friday night as well with my co-host, Tim Strobel. We do the DFS podcast, so you can check this out as well. All right, guys, we got a pretty busy show, so we're going to go ahead and just jump right into the news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
The news and notes tonight are sponsored by Expand the Box Score, putting advanced stats in your hand like never before. It's only $15 for the NFL package. That's not a month. That is for a year. $15 for a year. And use our promo code GF210 and save 10% off at expandtheboxscore.com. Hashtag we got stats. All right, let's get started here with the first news. And Gerson, I'm going to go to you first on this one since you're a Raiders fan. Y'all made a trade this weekend here for Zay Jones from the Buffalo Bills for a pick. What are your thoughts on Zay Jones for fantasy purposes?
I think he can be a wide receiver, maybe three. I mean, I wouldn't even want him Ray on my roster. I mean, my depth should be better than that. The other thing is also they traded too much for him. But
what pick did they trade? I didn't see. I know they gave a pickup, but what pick was it?
They gave a fifth round pick.
Mm.
I don't really think he's worth a fifth round pick. I think he has issues off field already in his career. I mean, he did very well last year, I thought. But overall, we just need a body there, that's all. So I don't really see him having too much upside in fantasy. Maybe pick him up in deep dynasty leagues if he's available. Maybe a super flex league, get him on your bench, but nothing more than that.
Yeah, I came into the season with him as a sort of a breakout candidate after his last six games last year. He was a top 20 receiver in his last six games last year. I thought, okay, he's going to come out this year and be the number one guy. I watched him in preseason. In that first preseason game, I think Josh Adams targeted him like five times out of his 10 passes. And I had him pegged for, a huge season. Of course, Beasley and John Brown kind of stole all his thunder and left him expendable with the Buffalo Bills. So I do hope he gets a second chance there with the Raiders, but they don't pass the ball enough to have volume. When you got Waller there, you got Tyrell Williams there. Josh Jacobs is now finally involved in the passing game. I think Zay Jones is a fourth option at best on that team. So I don't know what his value will be. Like you said, deep dynasty maybe, or if Tyrell Williams does end up missing some extra games. I know he's out this past weekend. They got a bye. But if he misses a few more games, I think he can be valuable in that sense. He's a good red zone target as well. So he might have some value in some deep dynasty leagues for sure. Ryan, we'll go to you for the next one on the list here. We got David Johnson with the back issue. We saw a little bit of Chase Edmonds. That's his name, the backup running back there. Are you worried about DJ?
Yeah. I'm not fully worried yet, but I'm cautious. So I'm going to be watching it probably every day because I do have DJ shares. I just traded from last week. Awesome. But he's something I'm going to watch. Chase Edmonds is a must add, though. I mean, I'd rather be early and have him than be late and have to blow an entire fab budget on him. Because even if he does 70% of what David Johnson does, that's a flex-worthy start for you.
Yep. And the matchup this week is just too good to pass up, too. I mean, I think he's got the Falcons this week. So, yeah, if he's playing, you're starting him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go over to the Patriots here. And Mr. Sony Michel saw a career-high 18 pass routes with also another high of three targets in this game, Gerson. Is this going to be like a new thing going forward? Do you think that we're going to see Sony Michel involved in this passing game more often to make him more valuable in fantasy?
Yes and no. I think he'll improve on what he is as a pass catcher, but no, because Rex Burkhead was out. When Rex Burkhead will come back, he'll get that whole workload. It is nice to see him get a PPR upside, I guess you can call it. But to be honest, with James Devlin being hurt, I don't see much upside with Sony Michel the rest of the season. Until I don't know if he went on the IR, James Devlin.
He did. Yep.
How long? But while he's out, I really don't want no part of Sony Michel. I would try to sell him, high if I can. I doubt you can sell him high, but this pass catching thing is not something that I can see foresee for him in the future. He's just never been a pass catching running back.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
I'd a little bit disagree on that. In college, when he was in Georgia with Nick Chubb, he was their pass catching guy. He had a 26 and a 22 reception season. So he showed he can do it. It's just, he's not as efficient as those other guys, but if it comes down to it, I think he can still perform a little bit.
Yeah, good stuff
In a Bill Belichick system, that's what they've been using him for like the last 2 years now. And Bill Belichick did say that he wanted the whole Boston, the beat writers, they did say that they wanted him to get, he was going to get more workload in the pass catching. So, in college, sure. But, we're looking at the NFL, Sony Michel and then what's his name? Josh Jacob, these guys were featured running back in college, right? And now they're not getting a lot of pass catching. But Jacob did get some more workload in the pass catching department. So hopefully Michel gets it too,
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Gerson, as far as trying to sell high. I think I actually have Sony Michel on my dynasty roster and he's my RB5. So if I can move him, if you got a fan of Sony Michel in your league, which I actually do have a fan, hopefully he's not watching tonight. He loves Sony Michel. He actually loves every running back coming out of Georgia. He actually has Holyfield, the running back that came out this year on his taxi squad, hoping that he comes to turn into something. But he loves the Georgia running backs. And if I can sell Sony Michel high right now, I think I will try to do that, especially if he's not one of your starting running backs. So I agree there 100%. All right, we'll go to the receivers now. Ryan, with you, with Sammy Watkins injured again. Talk about Watkins a little bit. If you're in a redraft league, how worried are you? And what are you looking for as far as a replacement for Watkins?
I mean, right now it's kind of par of the course for Watkins. Miss a few games every year, so it's not like it's something we're surprised about. But with who's replacing, it depends on Tyreek Hill. If Hill plays, we're going to see the guys who've been performing. If Hill's out, Byron Pringle looked like the guy to fill in his role.
Yep.
Because we saw Hill out, it was DeMarcus Robinson, Cole Hardman who took those spots because they have a similar skill set with their pure speed. Pringle was more, a little bit bigger bodied, a little bit more well-rounded guy. So when Sammy went down, he got heavily targeted. So I think he makes a big difference in that offense. He's a guy who's on a step up. But a lot of it depends on if Tyreek Hill's back or not.
Yep.
If Hill's back, that kind of just skews the whole thing because there's his number two target back.
Yep, I agree. I think last year we kind of, you know, in DFS, we stacked those three. We'd have Mahomes, Kelsey, and Tyreek Hill were just basically your stacks. And without Tyreek Hill in there, it's become a crapshoot. Who do you stack this week? Is it Watkins? Is it a Mecole Hardman week? Is it a DeMarcus Robinson week? You know, this week was a Pringle week, so who saw that coming? So it's kind of hard to pin that down, I believe. But I think if Tyreek Hill is back, you can just go back to being a Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, Mahomes stack. It's pretty much all you're going to want there.
Right. Until then, I think it's kind of crapshoot which one of those guys is going to show out.
Agreed. All right, and the last news we have in here on the injury front, Gerson, is Jalen Samuels, who actually had a pretty good game 2 weeks ago. Then he came out this past week and threw an interception, but he is out for at least a month. So does that improve James Conner's outlook, or do you think that it just is a Benny Snell kind of steps into that Jalen Samuels role?
I think it improves the outlook, but the thing is, we also have to look at the quarterback outlook, right? I mean, we have this guy named Devin Hodge coming in the quarterback. I don't know much about him. I mean, Ryan's more of the college guy. I don't even know the college he went to.
Samford.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. Like, I read Samford. I'm like, where the hell is Samford?
I have no idea.
And I mean, he didn't do too bad, though. 7 for 9, 68 yards. But the thing is, I think what will happen, James Conner will just go back to his heavy workload of what he had last year before Jalen Samuel really started breaking out. It's going to improve his value for sure. I think he's still going to be a running back too. You know, not a top 12 running back yet. Maybe, but it all depends on the quarterback. That's what we think from the Pittsburgh Steelers and how much workload they give him. But don't sleep on Benny Snell, though. I mean, they drafted this guy, in the fourth round, I believe? Third round?
Somewhere in that range. Like that.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, he's day three. I think he's day three pick somewhere in there.
So, I mean, like, Benny Snell is actually not a terrible backup running back. I mean, if you have a stash, maybe pick up Benny Snell just in case they get him workload, you know. But I think Connor's value only improves because it's going to revolve around him and whoever that Devin Hodge guy throws the ball to, because we saw that Juju's not getting the workload we want him to get.
Yep. And I just saw that James Washington is questionable for this coming up week too, so that could be a big thing for Connor / Deontay Johnson, who seems to be the guy who steps into that role. Getting those targets. So, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on.
Hodges got the nickname in Pittsburgh. Now they call him Duck Dynasty because he was like the U.S. champion duck caller.
Nice.
Wow.
Man, nice. It's really like everyone in Pittsburgh is talking about. It's really funny. But nice. Yeah, they call him Duck Dynasty.
Nice. Hey, if that can stick, if he can be a decent quarterback, that's an awesome nickname. I wouldn't mind that one.
It really is, yeah.
All right, that's it for the news and notes. Let's see, I'm going to the Pick'em games. So I had a really good week last week. I know those of y'all that follow the show for a while know that I think it was week two or week three that I missed completely, didn't put my picks in, so I got kind of screwed. But I'm making a comeback. Ryan only leads me now by 4. He's got me 41-37. I think I got 11 picks right this past weekend. So awesome week for me. I made some ground up on Ryan, so hopefully I can continue that pace. Let's go ahead and just jump into our featured games.
This week's Game by Game Previews.
All right, we got a little bit different format now, guys. We're going to do 5 or 6 featured games a week, and then we'll do some sort of fun game like Keep Cut Trade or Stash or Dash, and then we'll do the other games as just a one question, one liner. So starting off with our first featured game here, I got the Panthers at the Bucks. So going to the Panther side of thing, Ryan, you got the Panther side. What are you looking for in this game?
I think we're going to have kind of like an offensive just explosion in this game. I feel pretty confident about the Carolina pass catchers who have kind of been a little bit down with Kyle Allen in there. But there's nothing like juicing up an offense against Tampa Bay who can't cover anything. So I'm feeling pretty confident taking a chance on Curtis Samuel. DJ Moore got a little bit more volume last week. So he had 94 yards and he's trending in the right direction. So I have pretty good confidence in them, as well as Greg Olsen. Christian McCaffrey, something we don't need to talk about because he's Christian McCaffrey. And I don't really hate the idea of Kyle Allen if I'm desperate and trying to stream.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Of course, yeah, Christian McCaffrey is the guy. You're just plugging him in no matter what the matchup is. Is he? I mean, yeah. Can we deem him the best running back or the best player, non-quarterback in the league right now? I mean, he's got to be, right?
I think he should be in the MVP race, man. I saw today he has like 30 less yards on the season than the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think he's got more yards than the Jets. I believe I saw that stat. More total yards than the Jets.
He's so unbelievable.
I'll add to that. I mean, he has more total yards than Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott together.
Added together, yep. It's insane what he's doing right now. I think I got him in that race too. I think it's probably Russell Wilson, maybe Patrick Mahomes, and then I think Christian McCaffrey is in that mix as well. So I think three are the race right now for MVP.
Yeah.
All right, Gerson, we'll go to your side of things here. You got the Buck side of things. What you looking for in this game? Which quarterback are we going to see this week? Jameis Winston. He's up and down every game, it seems.
In the first, they were pretty. He did okay the first half, but in the second half, he just horrendous. I mean, but that was a game where we kind of found out that Cam Newton was kind of like hurt, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they lost that game on the last play. I mean, they did one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen done at the 1 yard line, where you had the quarterback go out on a motion like that. He was doing the what is it called? The Philly Miracle or whatever. But then McCaffrey in the backfield, like, okay, the ball is going to go to McCaffrey. Everybody knows that. I mean, the center's not going to, you know, they're not going to pass the ball at the 1 yard line with the running back, you know? I mean, they could, but then they lost the game. So, I mean, in this game, I think you can play Jameis Winston as a quarterback, you know, but don't expect too much high expectations like he's been doing lately. I mean, he's done decent against the Rams and the Giants, but in the last game, you kind of saw a little bit of Winston, you know, where he got pressured. So Carolina Panthers should provide a lot of pressure on him, so that worries me a lot too. I definitely always start Godwin and Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans does draw a tough matchup with Bradbury, but I think Godwin is an excellent play. I don't know so much about playing Ronald Jones. I would temper my expectation on him. I know he's been a very popular pickup the last few weeks. But, yeah, I think this is more of a Chris Godwin, and then start Mike Evans, regardless, always in your season long. But O.J. Howard, man, I can't tell you guys. I've been thinking of dropping him.
Yep.
He's probably my most disappointing pick in the history of me playing fantasy football.
After him, it's rough.
So ugly.
Yeah, but when you draft him in the fifth round, man, you know, that was like, you know, I was hoping he would be really good. But it's okay, because I picked Darren Waller everywhere. My like late stash, you know.
You got that. So, you got that cute. That you get queued up there. You got the sound effect queued up for your boy.
Yeah.
Every time you mention Waller, you got to play the sound effect, man.
But yeah, I mean, it's just so funny because Darren Waller. I mean, he just
There it is.
You know, he's a baller, but. OJ Howard, he's like a bad prune of orange juice, man. That guy's like, oh my goodness. But I think that's basically it. Who I want to play on their side, mostly Godwin. You know, I mean, he is a wide receiver one now officially.
Yeah, agreed. And I think the only thing else I wanted to mention too is maybe even play that Panthers defense. We talked about it on the DFS show that they get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Jameis Winston is one of those quarterbacks that will throw some interceptions and take some unnecessary sacks. So the defense for the Panthers could be good as well, I believe. All right, next game on the slate is going to be the Eagles at the Vikings. Oh, sorry. Yeah, let's pick this game. Gerson, we'll go to you first since you're the guest. Who do you got for this game, Panthers or Bucks?
I got the Panthers winning on this one. I just feel like this McCaffrey is just too damn good. I know they shut him down in the first game, but I don't think it's going to happen again. I think Kyle Allen is an upgrade over Cam Newton, so, yeah.
All right, good stuff. And who would you got for this game, Ryan?
Wait, Ryan, I saw your face. I don't think he's a better quarterback, but, like, with a bum shoulder and stuff, And a back. Where was it? What did the injury?
It's his shoulder. Yeah, shoulder. It's a shoulder.
Shoulder, and then the ankle injury as well.
Upgraded. You know, he was hitting those floor passes a lot.
Yeah, with that injury, it's rough, man. But yeah, at this moment in time, I thought you meant overall. I was about to be hurt. I was about to be real hurt about that.
So, Ryan, who are you picking for this game?
I think I agree with him. I think Carolina comes in. They're a better overall team. Their defense is really getting after it, man. Brian Burns has been fantastic as a rookie. So I think that's a big part of it.
All right, I'm going with the upset. I'm taking the Bucks at home here. I think the Bucks pull this one off. I think they surprised us once again after kind of letting us down this past weekend. So I think they're going to be an up-and-down team all year. So this will be one that hopefully I can gain some ground on Ryan. All right, let's go to the next game here. We got the Eagles at the Vikings. And Ryan, you got the Eagles side of things. What you looking for in this game?
I don't feel great about the receivers there. Minnesota's been really good shutting people down. Xavier Rhodes makes guys disappear. So I don't feel real confident there, but I love the Zach Ertz matchup this week. PFF has, that is the second best tight end matchup in the league for fantasy. And they've just been getting eaten up at that position. I think we see a huge game out of Ertz. I think the offense is going to revolve around him. I'm not real confident in much else. The running game against Minnesota has not been great all year. So I'm fading a lot of those. So majority of that offense I am avoiding other than Zach Ertz. But if you have Ertz, you have no option to start him anyways.
Yeah, I think we talked about on the DFS show as well that the Vikings.
He's going to have a huge game.
Yeah, I think the Vikings, like you said, the defense versus the tight end position is not very good. I think in week one I had Austin Hooper as my top play and tight end, and he lit them up. So I think the Vikings, the way you beat them is with the tight end position, and Ertz, of course, is one of the top tight ends. So I think he has a good week as well. Going to the Viking side of things, we all spoke about the squeaky wheel on the DFS show, thinking it was going to be Stephon Diggs, the squeaky wheel, but it ended up being Adam Thielen. What are we looking for in this game, Gerson?
Stephon Diggs is a diva. I think in this game, you're going to want to look to attack them through the passing game. Philadelphia is pretty stout against the run. Overall, the way you beat Philly is to pass the ball. I know a lot of people hate Kirk Cousins because he's been really bad, besides last week where he threw for like 300 yards. I think 302 touchdown, right? Something like that. But did pretty well. I mean, I guess they heard, you know, they heard you got to pass the ball to win football, I guess. But definitely like Adam Thielen's matchup, and I like Diggs, but I think Thielen's probably the best benefactor from Cousins, like, you know, improvement. Because overall, Thielen was always lining up on the outside at the beginning of the year. In the last game, he saw a pretty good amount in the slot, and he actually played really well. So I like Thielen. I mean, he had that long touchdown too. So, yep. But overall, I mean, not interested in the Vikings defense too much against Philly. I think Carson Wentz can still move the ball. I mean, in a 12 team league, but overall, I think I'm just looking at Thielen and then Dalvin Cook. Okay, you have to start him, right? Because that's your best running back. So you can start him. You're gonna start him. You're not gonna sit him.
Right.
One of the best running backs in the NFL, and he just done well. I mean, we had seen him, what he does, even with a stout defense against Chicago. He still got like 19 points. I mean, he has upside through PPR. So regardless, you're going to start him.
Yep. All right, Gerson, we got a question on Facebook from our boy Damian Porter, who asks a question on every podcast that we have just about. He's asking, would you drop Valdez Scantling for Dede Westbrook?
I wouldn't, because I think MVS probably provides more stealing with
Aaron Rodgers.
Last game, I mean, yeah, he didn't do that great, but I just think we don't know the outcome of this Davante Adams toe, how long it can really linger. We've seen people recover from 3 weeks. We've seen people like AJ Green not even recover for like 8 weeks, you know? Yeah. So overall, I'd probably just do and keep MVS over DD.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Adams, when he comes back, I think helps MVS. MVS, you know, of course, drew the number one coverage this past weekend, so that kind of hurt him a little bit. But I think MVS in the long run has more upside, because I think Westbrook's no longer the number one over there in Jacksonville. I think it's DJ Shark. I think we've seen that, you know, that's who Minshew looks for. So Westbrook's the number two there. So I'm not sure that offense can support that many receiving options. So I think I'm going to keep MVS as well. All right, let's pick this game. Ryan, who you got for this game?
I'm gonna take the Eagles on this. I like this one, like, it's kind of hard for me, but yeah, tough. I'm gonna go Philly. I think there's a team that's on the they're on the rise, and they do have a lot of talent there. I think it just has to click. And I trust Carson Wentz just a little bit more at the quarterback position.
Yep, yep. All right, Gerson, who you got for this game?
Yeah, I got Philadelphia, too. I just think it's going to be close, though. There's going to be like a game that comes down to a field goal, I think. So I definitely have Philly in this one. I think they're, like Ryan said, they're really turning up the heat. And this is a team that, you know, been to the Super Bowl and won it, you know. So, like, overall, they have the experience. Minnesota's kind of more, they choke, you know, but I like the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, I'm going Eagles as well. I think they've gotten their groove back. I think that they're going to be good enough to beat the Vikings. They'll do just enough to beat them. It won't be a blowout, but I think it'll be a close game. But Eagles pull this one out for sure. All right, next game on the dock is going to be a good one. The Texans at the Chiefs. Ryan, you get the Texans side of things with Will Fuller finally showing up. I think I saw a stat that Ryan McDowell posted on Twitter that he went from like wide receiver 48 up to wide receiver 8 in 1 week with that huge week that he had. What's your thoughts here in the Texans this week?
Dude, that was freaking crazy. I mean, it's going to be another huge offensive game for them. I think Will Fuller's in for a big game, not the game he had this week. So if he gets less than 200, if he gets 110 yards and a touchdown, don't be disappointed. That's a great week. I think he's could do put some numbers up there. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, he's DeAndre Hopkins. He's been underperforming, but he's on Rashard Breeland. He should light him up. Running backs for them. I think it's going to be more of a Duke Johnson game because they're going to be forced to pass more, and I don't think they're going to be putting the ball on the ground in Carlos Hyde's hand. So I'm going to lean more towards Duke Johnson if I have to start running back. Hopefully I'm not in that situation, but I'd take him out of those guys. And obviously Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes is going to be such a fun shootout. Like, I don't know what you say. It's all wheels up in this game.
Definitely, definitely.
Start all the major names.
And, yeah, and DFS, you're going to want to stack the hell out of this game for sure. This is going to be a high-scoring game, I think.
Right, and tight end for Houston, nobody cares. Like, they're not doing anything.
Exactly.
It says receivers. Watson's locked in on them.
All right, we have another question on Facebook I want to answer. Get answered real quick for you, Ryan. It's actually Gerson's twin brother, Jason, on Facebook. He wants to know what to do with Miles Sanders. Are you going to stash him on your bench, or are you going to try to sell him now?
I'm going to stash him. If it's Dynasty, he still has the market. Right now, you'd be selling low because we've seen a Jordan Howard explosion. If you can afford to stash him, do it. I mean, we're playing for playoff time now. If you're in that situation where you can afford to do it because something happens to Howard or he gets more carries, they build confidence in him. You can see a lot more carries down the line. He's definitely worth the hold because everyone knows he's a superior running back. It's just we need the team to trust him.
Yep, I agree 100%. All right, Gerson, let's go to your side of things. You got the Chiefs side of things. I think there's a chance that Tyreek Hill could be back. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, last time we saw him, was limping around. Are you worried about Mahomes, and do you think Tyreek Hill plays in this game?
I mean, I'm worried, but I'm more worried for like his rushing upside that he sometimes provides, but I think he'll be okay as a pocket quarterback. But the thing is that offensive line gets pressured a lot. We saw Mahomes last week. The last 2 weeks, basically, he's been not super Mahomes, or is that a word? Or yeah. Superman. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it's tough because Mahomes really relies on his arm strength, but he's really great at throwing the ball on the run. I mean, we've seen him do those dumbass no-look pass, but, you know. But seriously, guy's so talented, I'm not worried about him too much, but there is some worries. Travis Kelce, you start him regardless. He's your best tight end. I mean, if you have someone better than Travis Kelce, then he better. I mean, I don't even know if there's really someone better than Travis Kelce in the game right now.
I don't think there is. I think actually Hooper at one point averaged more points than Kelce, but Kelsey's the best tight end in the league. There's no.
I mean, but Sammy Watkins, he was injured with a hamstring. I'm not playing this guy. I'm kind of done with him. I mean, that hamstring reoccurred back in the game when really he went out there for like one play and got hurt, right?
Yep. He was hurt like early on in the game.
I mean, you should thank the fantasy god, all those guys that said, I just need Sammy Watkins to go out there for one play, get hurt, and get no point. You know, and it happened, but that's crazy. But I think DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman make really interesting, like, flyers in this game. I'd probably start Damian Williams in this game over LeSean McCoy. I've never been a big LeSean McCoy fan, to be honest. You can start both running backs, but you're not really expecting too much of a like high point total from them, you know? So overall, all the passing attack. If Tyreek Hill comes back for DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman took a fall, I wouldn't start him really. But even if Tyreek Hill come back, I'd be worried about starting him as a wide receiver, as a starting wide receiver, because you know Andy Reid, not a dumb coach. He'll ease him back in. You know, he won't just go all in on him. But I mean, if you have a better wide receiver than Tyreek at 50%, then yeah, sure, you know.
Yep. All right, let's pick this game, Kirsten. Who you got? Texans or Chiefs?
I got Kansas City.
Kansas City. Ryan, you got Kansas City as well?
Yeah.
Yep, same here. Sweep it. Going with the Chiefs. All right, the next game on the docket are my 49ers going to the Los Angeles Rams, and I'll take the 49ers side of things. I think one thing you want to make sure you temper expectations here on all the running backs. I know we saw Breida and Tevin Coleman go bonkers in this last game, but we lost Kyle Juszczyk, our fullback, and I think he is a huge, huge proponent to our running game. He opens up so many things, and you kind of saw that in this last game. After he went out, we couldn't move the ball quite as good as we could in the first half. So I think if you got Breida and you got Tevin Coleman, if you got any better options, you want to go with one of those guys over them. Also, this passing game makes me nervous a little bit too, because Jimmy G has not looked as good as I've seen him in the past. I think his first, you know, season with the 49ers, he looked really good. He looked very decisive. He was hitting his reads pretty quickly. Last night, I saw a guy that just making one read and then panic if that read wasn't there. Maybe a little bit nervous. I know we blow out the Browns, so it didn't really matter. But if you actually watch Jimmy G on those passing routes when he dropped back, if his first read wasn't there, he didn't know where to go with the ball. And I think it makes me a little bit nervous for all those pass catching options. I think, of course, you're starting Kittle. You got to put Kittle in there. I think he gets his no matter what. They'll find ways to get him the ball. But if you got Dante Pettis, Debo Samuel, even Marquise Goodwin, if you're forced to play one of those guys, if you got a better option, I'd go with somebody else other than those guys. Defensively, I wouldn't touch the defenses in this game either. I think that both sides of the ball can move the ball pretty well. And I think that the 49ers defense may give some points up to these Rams. So I think that the defense, you're going to want to be kind of hold back a little bit on the defense for this week. So going to the Rams side of things, Ryan, what you looking for from the Rams?
Oh, I didn't realize I was getting the Rams.
You do that every time.
Well, I've been the away team every time. I thought he got it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. My bad. You're right. You're perfectly right.
Yeah, it's Gerson.
Yeah, let me go to Gerson.
Hey, wait.
My bad.
It's when.
That's the host issue right there. That's my bad. Go ahead, Gerson. You got the Rams side of things.
Overall, it's a fun game, right? Like, you're gonna want to. It's kind of like one of those shootout games. I'm hoping we can see where Todd Gurley been in the past with him against San Francisco. I mean, he's gotten 30 points, 40 points in the last two games he played the San Francisco 49ers, but this is a different San Francisco 49ers team. This front seven, I mean, they're out for blood. Nick Bosa, I mean, he planted his flag on Baker Mayfield. I mean, this defense is, they did a 180 from the last 2 years. I mean, we've seen that they had upside, but they're finally showing it. I mean, they're 4-0. I mean, we got 49ers fans thinking they're going to go to the Super Bowl already. I mean, you know, but you got to start Todd Gurley as your running back one, you know, kind of in your running back league. But overall, you just play all the wide receivers again. Brandon Cook, Cooper Kupp, I don't know what the latest news on Brandon Cook concussion is.
I haven't heard either.
If he's in, play him. But if he's out, obviously don't play him because he's not going to play. But
great insight.
Josh Reynolds is going to be the guy that steps in, right? And we saw Josh Reynolds in the past when he has to step in as a wide receiver 3 for that team. He's done pretty decent. I mean, I wouldn't play Josh Reynolds, to be honest, as a wide receiver, starting wide receiver in my fantasy football league. But if you're in a deep league and you have no depth, no bench, then yeah, pick up Josh Reynolds. You know, probably start him in this kind of game environment. But definitely starting Cooper Kupp. This guy, Cooper Kupp, is so underrated, man. People overlook him, but I think he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He knows how to do separation, runs very crisp route, and he's a smart, smart guy. But Troy Aikman hated his dad or something, man. I don't know what's wrong with Troy Aikman. He bashed on his dad like, I didn't even know Cooper Kupp's dad was my backup quarterback. someone told me, and I didn't believe it. But and then at the end, he tried to give him a compliment. I hope you're doing well. I'm like, bashed on him on national TV. But a really interesting one is Gerald Everett. This guy's been turning it on lately. I mean, last 2 weeks, 136 yards, 7 receptions, 5 receptions, 44 touchdowns. I think he's a viable starting tight end now. I mean, even with Tyler Higbee back, he's getting a lot of target. So I like Gerald Everett now. I picked him up in a few leagues and it pans out. So yeah, you can start Gerald Everett. The defense, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. All right, we do have a question. This is a little bit of a DFS question, Gerson. So I'll ask you. It's from Alex Juarez on one of our chats that we are in. He wants to know which game is more attractive to stack this weekend: the Atlanta Arizona game or the Washington Miami game.
Bro. The Atlanta Arizona game or the Washington Miami game? What a joke! Atlanta Arizona game, that game you want to stack? I mean, you don't want to stack the Tank Bowl, man. I don't mean to steal thunder from my boy Ryan, because he's gonna probably call it a Tank Bowl too. But I mean, if you're the team owner, then yeah, you want that number one pick. You want you're gonna score the least points, right? So. Yeah, I'm going Atlanta, Arizona, easy.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm not sure if that was a real question or not, but I told him I'd ask the question on Facebook, so I did it. So there it is. All right, let's go ahead and pick this game. 49ers at Rams. Gerson, who do you got for this one?
Oh, hold on.
I think I'm going to have to go to Rams. I want to say 49ers too, because I want them to be undefeated when they come to your house, Jeff, you know? But yeah, I'm going to Rams.
All right. Ryan, who you got for this one?
I'm going to let you try to catch up a game on me, so I'm going to get Rams.
All right. I'm going 49ers. I will say that I kind of thought about going Rams here, but I couldn't do it. I do think that they're at home, so it's a little bit of a tough thing. We're coming off this really big high of a game, and I don't know if our offense is ready to handle that, so... But I'm going to go ahead and pick my Niners anyway and hope that they can pull this one out and surprise me.
Yeah, they were feeling themselves after Cleveland, yeah, man.
They definitely were. They definitely were. I don't think we played that well, honestly.
Everybody's going to feel themselves with Baker now. Like, you've seen it. Everybody hates Baker. So, like, if they trash him, yep, they're going to, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yep, definitely. All right, we got two more games to get to for the featured games. We got the Falcons at the Cardinals that we just kind of talked about a little bit. And we'll go to you, Ryan, first for the Falcons side of things. What you got?
I mean, I think Julio is contention to be wide receiver one this week. They're trash on defense completely till Patrick Peterson comes back. Then he kind of opens up a little bit. I think Ridley's is about due for a bounce back. He's struggled a little bit more than we'd like to have seen throughout the season, but I think Arizona's kind of defense is going to kickstart a nice game out of him. We haven't seen much out of Devontae Freeman in the running game, but he's produced a nice amount receiving. So, I mean, you got to start him. And if I'm in a really desperate, I'd feel okay about playing Ito Smith and flex if I'm in bye week hell and struggling a little bit, because they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. Neither team has a defense. Yeah. I think there will be some points scored, and they're going to be trying to keep people fresh. And it looks like they're trying to protect Freeman a little bit so they can have him down the line if they can ever turn around the ship.
Yep. I agree 100% with all those calls. All right, Gerson, we'll go to you for the Cardinals side of things. What you looking for in this game?
Kyler Murray really has been more phenomenal than we thought as a quarterback. I mean, not phenomenal, just great. You know, like we've seen what he can do, but he's just slowly improving. He hasn't had a touchdown in the last 2 weeks, a passing touchdown. But we're starting to see that running of his. I mean, last game he got 93 yards rushing. So those rushing upside makes up for the touchdown at least. But he got 25 points overall. I mean, he's getting a quarterback 1 point ceiling. So, yeah, I mean, we kind of saw what Deshaun Watson did to that defense. So it's not going to improve overnight, you know. So definitely start your Kyler Murray shares. David Johnson, if he's back, tightness is kind of tough, you know, in the NFL. Because as a running back, you're turning everywhere. You know, you're getting hit. I know the NFL has some incredible steroid shots that they can put in you. But It'd be crazy if he doesn't start. I think you go and pick up Chase Edmund. I'm pretty sure we're going to mention him as one of the waivers pick up, but Chase Edmund would definitely be a start for me as a flex play if he starts. But David Johnson, you're going to play him too. At wide receiver, I wanted to make a comment on Calvin Ridley. I think he already had his bounce back game. He had a pretty good game last week. Yeah. 88 yards and a touchdown and 5 receptions, but he is still inconsistent. But overall, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk is out again. I don't know if I really want to go to any of these guys like Keyshawn Johnson or Damir Bird or anyone else, Trent Sherfield, or what everybody thought was going to be like the guy, you know, Andy Isabella. How many of you guys in this room, raise your hand if you actually thought this guy was actually going to be an impact receiver on this offense?
I did.
I can say I did. I was a huge hater the entire process.
Yeah. Well,
was I not, Jeff?
Yes, he was. He was not an Isabella fan. He definitely was not.
It's just crazy, but like overall, Larry Fitzgerald in play. Nobody else. At tight end, no. I'm not playing no one from the tight end area. Defense, they don't have a defense.
Yep. Agreed 100%. Ryan, we did have a question about the let me see if I can find it now. I think I lost it. Oh, here we go. From Damian Porter again. Is Sanu worth a start in a 12-team league?
Only if I'm desperate, man. I don't really feel comfortable doing it. He's kind of a guy. He'll get you a nice floor, but you're kind of limited there. If I have other options, I'll do it. And 12-team, you're not going to be too strapped where you're going to have to start Sanu.
Agreed. All right, let's fly through this last one. Let's pick this game real quick. Gerson, you got the Falcons or the Cardinals?
Falcons.
Who you got, Ryan?
I'm going to go Cardinals. I think Falcons are stumbling a little bit, and Arizona has a little bit of life to them with following Kyler.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to my guns. I was going to go with the Cardinals as well, thinking you were going to pick the Falcons, but I'll stay with the Cardinals at home. I think that this Falcons team is just kind of falling apart slowly, and I think this Arizona team is kind of on a high right now. I think the Cardinals do pull this one out. All right, guys, we're getting a little long here, so let's go ahead and fly through the Lions and Packers here. We'll go to you first, Ryan, for the Lions side of things. What you looking for in this game?
I'm proceeding with caution with Kenny Golladay. He's going to pull Kenzie Alexander, who's been playing fantastic this year. So I'm not super confident starting him there. And Marvin Jones, same thing. So a little bit cautious because their pass defense has been fantastic in Green Bay this year, and I'm a little bit worried. I think we'll see a little bit more Kerryon Johnson than we've seen lately because they're going to be strapped to the run game. Or I get the receivers being covered. And this might be kind of a week you can feel a little bit more confident with TJ Hockenson for the same reasons. Receivers are covered. The ball has to go somewhere.
Yep, good call. All right, go to the Packers side of things, Gerson. Let's go quick with this one.
I don't feel very comfortable starting Aaron Rodgers no more. I just don't see the upside no more. There's a lot of quarterbacks you can stream that are probably with his ceiling, like Cousin. Running back, you love Aaron Jones. Even though they have a pretty stout defense in the run game, they're top 13th overall in DVOA. But you're going to play Aaron Jones. Wide receiver, don't feel comfortable starting Marvin Valdez-Scantling or Geronimo Allison or Jake Kumerow. But if Devontae Adams comes back, you're going to have to play him. But overall, probably MBS, that's it. Tight end, Jimmy Graham, sure. But just a tight end if you're in a bad area. Defense, no thanks.
Yep, I agree with all those calls as well. I think Jimmy Graham's only good because it's tight end, and there's just so many bad tight ends.
Terrible.
You just catch a pass and a touchdown, and you're good to go. You're probably a top tight end that week if you can just do that. So I agree with Jimmy Graham. All right, guys, we're going to do a new segment tonight that we haven't done yet this year. It's actually an old segment that we just haven't pulled out in a while. So we're going to do a keep, cut, trade segment.
It's now time for keep, cut, trade.
All right. Normally we do this with three guys. You give three guys. You pick one to keep. You pick one to trade. You pick one to cut. But we're going to do this one a little bit differently. For your redraft leagues, I'm going to give you one guy. You got to tell me if you want to keep this guy, cut this guy, or trade this guy. Gerson, we'll go to you first. And your guy is Tariq Cohen. Keep, cut, or trade Tariq Cohen.
Do we have a PPR standard setting on this?
Yeah, PPR redraft is what we're going with.
Okay. I'm going to cut bait with him. I just don't see this upside, this offense having any upside. You can't sell him. you can't trade him. Nowhere you're going to want him. But this offense has been taking a huge step back from last year.
Yep.
And overall, it's just disappointed.
I agree. I think that David Montgomery is kind of taking that role with the volume. And I think Tariq Cohen, unless he gets that big play, which you really can't count on big plays, he's not really something that I want to hold on to either. I think I would be cutting him as well if there's a better option. Obviously, if there's no options on the waiver wire, you just hold him just by sheer fact of the matter that he's a talented player. But if you got someone out there that's a little bit better, you know, that you can pull from the waiver wire, then go ahead and do it. All right, sticking with the running back theme, we're going to go over to Damian Williams. Keep, cut, or trade Damian Williams for the Chiefs, Ryan?
I'm going to keep him. I think he led the team, he led the running backs on snaps last week, his first week back. Andy Reid likes his confidence in him. He doesn't have any trade value right now because he hasn't performed all season, and most people are very disappointed where they draft him. So he's a hold for me. I'm going to keep him. It's not worth cutting it. The potential to have a top running back on that offense.
Agreed. Yeah, the offense is just too good to drop him completely, even though he has disappointed a little bit. He's been injured, but I think that he is the one that they want to have as the number one running back there. All right, we're going to go to my boy, wide receiver that I had last year. I was super high on him, and then I kind of fell off a little bit, and now I'm hating on him a little bit. He's coming off a couple of good, decent games. Mr. Corey Davis, Gerson, are you going to keep, cut, or trade Corey Davis?
We're not going to be able to trade him because nobody wants him. You know, you don't really want to cut him because he plays Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Oakland, and like kind of like an important area of the season long, kind of later in the season.
Good call.
But just keep him. Just keep him, you know. We seen Corey Davis last year when he had a hard-ass schedule, he sucked. But when he had those soft schedule,
yep, good call. I like that. Keep him. I think he's had a couple good games where he's had some good targeting. You just, you know, you got Mariota as your quarterback. You're not going to be great all the time. So I think he can be used against those teams you just mentioned that are pretty weak against the pass. So good call. All right, receivers. Once again, Ryan, we're going with D.D. Westbrook. Keep, cut, or trade D.D. Westbrook, who's been the number two receiver there in Jacksonville this year.
I'm actually going to keep D.D. Westbrook. I think we've seen the big games out of Shark, and it's been super hype. But you know what? Westbrook hasn't been behind on the target share. Mm-hmm. He has, out of 5 weeks, they've had the same amount of targets last week, 11, and Westbrook's led in targets twice over Shark. So I think Westbrook still has upside, and he's a talented enough receiver where he only needs one or two catches to put up a big performance.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. Keeping D.D. Westbrook. All right, we'll do two tight ends, and then we'll do a commercial break. Gerson, we'll go to you first. This guy finally had a decent game this past week, but he didn't have a ton of volume. He just got caught a touchdown. Tight end Jared Cook. Keep, cut, or trade Jared Cook?
I'm going to do a tough one. I think I'm going to keep him. I hate to say this, but overall, when Drew Brees come back, that offense is going to click. I don't know how far away Drew Brees is. I think like 2 or 3 more weeks, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
We saw an Instagram video where he was throwing the ball and then doing this ninja move at the end, which was weird. But I'm going to keep him. If you can try to trade him, you know, maybe to a Saints fan or someone that's desperate at tight end. If you can do a 2-for-1 package for like maybe Darren Waller because he had a bad week, maybe someone doesn't believe in him, then go and do it. But I keep him.
All right, good stuff. And one more tight end. We talked about a little bit earlier, Ryan. Mr. I'm calling him No J Howard from now on. He's no longer OJ Howard. He's now No J Howard. Are you going to keep, cut, or trade him?
That's painful to say. I'm cutting him, man. I think if he's on my team, I feel obligated to start him, and it's going to hurt. I'd rather take my chance streaming off off of good matchups and at least have somewhat of a chance and not rely on it. And I feel disgusting saying it because I love OJ's skill set. I just hate the system for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's got the skill set. I wish they could somehow trade him somewhere else because I don't think Bruce Arians even knows how to use the tight end position, and he's just wasting a talent there that they could possibly use. I mean, the crazy thing to me is like, and I've mentioned this a lot in my chats, is that he's got a faster 40 time than Mike Evans. You tell me you can't find a way to use a tight end that's got a faster 40 time than your best receiver. It's just,
he's so talented.
It's crazy to me.
Trade him to Houston.
Yeah.
They don't use the tight end either now. It'll just be the same thing.
Yeah, he's someone that's going to use the tight end. I think that, you know, there's a plenty of teams out there that can use the tight end. I think that he's just a waste of talent right now. But yeah, right now you got to cut him. If there's an option out there that you can stream, go ahead and do it and get rid of OJ Howard. All right, quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we will tackle the rest of the games and we'll tackle a little bit of the waiver wire as well. Hold tight.
In the unpredictable world of fantasy sports, when all hope seems lost and chaos and confusion rule, one hero will rise. And change everything. Going for two.com. Because no one remembers the extra point.
I think I just realized, too, we never picked that Packers-Lions game, did we? Let's go ahead and pick that game real quick. Gerson, who you got? Packers-Lions.
Packers.
Packers. Ryan, who you got?
Same. Packers.
Packers. Sweep it for me as well. I'm going Packers as well. All right, guys. We're up against the clock here, so we're going to do waiver wire. We're going to do really quick. Both of y'all picked two or three guys to talk about tonight. Go ahead and just give all the guys you got and give us a brief little blurb about each one. Gerson, we'll go to you first.
Ronald Jones still out there a lot. I mean, I would pick him up, you know, because I think he can have more upside to Peyton Barber. Chase Edmond, definitely pick him up because of the injury to David Johnson. At wide receiver, I still see him out there in a lot of leagues. Robbie Anderson, if he's out there, pick him up because Sam Darnold Amano is coming back sooner or later. Definitely going to be a good wide receiver two, wide receiver three upside to win the season in the long run.
All right, good stuff. Ryan, who are you guys?
I'm going to go Steve Slayton. I think with Sterling Shepard out probably multiple weeks with the second concussion of the year, he's going to be out a little bit. Steve Slayton.
You mean Darius Slayton. Oh, my God,
Darius Slayton. I was thinking the old running back for Houston. My brain just stopped. Darius Slayton. Thank you. I'm taking Hale on this. I think he's averaging 17 yards per reception this year. He's a big play threat. And other than Golden Tate, there's really not that many targets, especially with Barkley out another week. So I'm taking him there. Jared Everett's available in 97% ESPN leagues.
Wow.
Tight ends, yeah, it's crazy. Tight ends, absolutely terrible. He's been getting targets. Pick him up. Spend 20% of your fab budget. Don't be cheap. It's fine. And then I know Gerson wasn't a huge fan of it, but I think it's Jones here. Tyrell Williams is hurt. Somebody has to catch the ball. And it's not like Oakland's playing with the lead a lot. So I think Zay Jones has a nice red zone presence, and he can bring a little bit as a chain mover. And if we're worried about off the field, it's only one season. We're only talking redraft, not dynasty, where I'm caring about the long term.
Yeah, I think with Zay Jones, too, if I'm not mistaken, they're on a bye week this week. So you could probably get Zay Jones for no fab budget whatsoever. If you do a fab budget league, you can literally bid on Zay Jones for nothing because no one's picking him up in a redraft league with the bye week this coming week. So if you had the room to stash him for the following week, I think you can definitely do that. So good call there. All right, guys, we're going to do the rest of the games here, and we changed up the format a little bit. I'm just going to give you the game, and I'm going to give you one question to answer about each game so we can go through these really quick here. We got the Giants at the Patriots on Thursday night. Gerson, we're going to you, and my question to you is this a Sony Michel game or a James White game?
I think it's a Sony Michel game. I mean, the spread is pretty big. They're going to run the ball a lot more, but if Rex Burkhead comes back, it will temper him, but Sony Michel game for sure.
Sony Michel. All right. And then we're going to go to the Tank Bowl. Redskins at Dolphins. I'm just going to ask you this question, Ryan. Is there anybody worth talking about in this game?
Right. I mean, is McLaurin still hurt?
Yeah. No, I think he's back.
Oh, he is back? I feel okay. Seth McLaurin flex. Preston Wilson in deeper leagues, he's getting an absurd amount of targets there. But other than that, not really. They're bad.
So let me ask y'all, I'm considering this in my league. The Redskins and the Dolphins defense are available as waiver wire pickups. Are either one of those streamable options with the awful offense that these two teams have?
Both, yes. I definitely believe both are both streamable options there.
Redskins defense.
Yeah, Redskins defense, Dolphins defense. I think one of those defenses is going to be good this week. I think that both offenses are terrible.
Yeah, I prefer starting the Redskins defense, but I would be okay starting the Dolphins if I was really desperate.
Agreed.
And I didn't want to spend any fab.
Agreed. All right, Gerson, going back to you with the Saints at the Jags. And my question to you is, so Marshawn Lattimore shut down my boy Mike Evans this past week. This week he gets DJ Chark. Are you worried if you're a Chark owner? Oh, I think we may have lost Gerson, actually. So, Ryan, can you answer that question for me? DJ Chark, are you worried about him with Marshawn Lattimore covering him?
Not a ton. We don't know if he's really going to be manned up on him the whole game or they're going to stick with their defense. He's not really the type of – I don't know if they're viewing him as the receiver they have to lock down yet with his targets still being pretty even across the board.
That's true. Well, Gerson, you're back there. So what do you think of that Marshawn Lattimore against DJ Chark? Are you worried about him?
No, DJ Chark has faced some pretty tough matchup already, and he overcome them. Overall, he's just getting targeted. So I'm going to play him. I'm going to start him in my wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, you know.
All right. But
even flex.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Ryan, we're going to go to you on this next one. The Seahawks at the Browns. If you've got a better option or even a streaming option, is it time to bench Baker Mayfield?
Yes, to an extent, but it depends on my option. It's not a terrible matchup for him, but I'm not confident, man. I mean, he could have spiked the ball every play of the game last night and had a higher QB rating than he had.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He went from a 13 to a 33 if he did that. Like, it's crazy. He was so bad. But
so bad.
He had a ton of pressure on him, but the Seahawks also have a great front seven who get pressure on the quarterback, which after thinking about that, yeah, I'm going to say I'm benching him.
Yeah, I'm benching him too. I think if there's an option out there, you can stream this a little bit better. Like you mentioned, Chris, I mentioned earlier, Kirk Cousins. I like him better, actually, than Baker Mayfield this week. All right, Gerson, going to you with the next game, Bengals at Ravens. Besides Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd, is there a startable option for the Bengals this week?
I don't really want to talk crap on the Ravens, so I'll pass. You know, you could actually start Andy Dalton with the Ravens defense. Overall, he's done pretty well. Ravens pass defense has been pretty bad this year.
Yep.
And so overall, I mean, when they had that defensive tackle, William, is that his name?
Brandon Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, when he played, they do okay on the run defense, but on the pass defense, that's how you beat them. And that's how teams been targeting them. So, I mean, if you're desperate, maybe Andy Dalton, but even then, I don't feel that comfortable starting him.
Yeah, I think if you're in a pinch, you can do it. I don't know if I would necessarily trust it. I think that Ravens defense is not played very well, but I think they still have the pieces to be good, so I'd be a little bit nervous with Andy Dalton on the road. Oh, no.
I changed my mind. They're at Baltimore, so no, hell no.
Yeah, they're in
one
Baltimore.
Person I would think about starting for them is Eifert. Baltimore's done really bad against the tight end, minus the Pittsburgh game because they don't throw the tight end.
Yeah, and I think that we saw last week Eifert can be okay. He missed a touchdown pass, just a little bit overthrown against the Cardinals, who were also terrible against the tight end. If he had caught that TD pass, it would have been a much different story for him. So, agreed. Eifert, if you're in a pinch at tight end, you can do that. All right, Ryan, we're going to you for the Cowboys at the Jets. If Darnold plays, is Robbie Anderson a startable receiver 3 for you?
Yes, I love Robbie Anderson. Yeah. I think his skill set is explosive. He knows how to make plays. He has chemistry with Darnold. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver with Darnold as his quarterback. And I'm excited to see him with the guy who can throw the ball because he's by far a superior receiver, and I think that opens up their whole offense. Sorry, I went a little long on that, but yeah, I'm starting as a wide receiver 3.
All right, good stuff. Gerson, we go to you for the Titans at the Broncos, and I'm going to combine the question that I got you with the question we had on Facebook. The question I put down here, is Cortland Sutton an every-week starter now? And Damian Porter wanted to know, is this a Sutton game or an Emmanuel Sanders game this week?
This is a Sutton game. I think, you can play both, actually, but I like Sutton better. Sutton really been coming on the last 3 weeks. I mean, even the first week, he had a very good game. But I think he's finally starting to show what the reason why he got drafted, as a wide receiver to be in that offense. Yep. I mean, like, overall, he was a pretty highly touted rookie. He was getting drafted in Dynasty pretty high. I mean, overall, Sutton for sure for me is a great wide receiver. But yeah, definitely start him. And, yeah, he's an every-week starter now. I mean, wide receiver 3 flex, I mean,
yep.
Yeah, start him.
Yep, he saved my DFS week last week, so thankfully Sutton had that nice long 70-yard catch, which saved my week. And for somehow, I had the Bengals and Ravens on here twice. I usually give Ryan the Ravens game, but I don't know how I had him on there twice. So I'm going to give you the Steelers at the Chargers, Brian. If Mason Rudolph is out, do you bench Juju Smith-Schuster in this game?
No, because I think he still gets volume, and they're going to have to throw because Chargers put up some points. And whether they're quality targets or not, Juju's still going to get fed the ball. Plus, they let him sling into Baltimore, man. Duck Dynasty's going to push the ball. Like, that's his game. He tries to push the ball, and he's going to feed it to Juju. It might be ugly. There might be some picks involved, but if he gets 10 targets, I wouldn't be that surprised.
All right.
I temper my expectations, though.
Yeah, good point there. And the Chargers, you know, they're without their two top safeties, and they've been giving up some pretty big plays in that passing game, so I can see it for sure. So start Juju this week. All right, that's it for the games this week. We're going to go ahead and do our Forgotten Fantasy Player now.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Gerson, who do you got for your Forgotten Player this week?
So I had to go way, way back in the days. I had to go to Jeff days, you know, where they wrote them on typewriters, or they do the Pony Express trail and have him go out down on his horsey and, you know.
We had to send our lineups in a bottle, in a mesh it in a bottle, so send our lineups in.
Yeah. Now, I went back and worked at my Yahoo League, like my first year I played. I played in 2004. That's when I started playing fantasy football. And I had a guy, and I was like, what? Who is this guy? I don't know if you guys ever heard of him, Mustin Muhammad.
Yes, for the Panthers. Yes.
Yes. In 2004, and I looked at it, I'm like, wow, this guy's actually pretty good. 16 touchdowns, 1,400 yards, 93 receptions. And he was my best wide receiver on that roster. I was like, who is this guy? But yeah,
I like how Gerson's like, I went way back in the day. I went to 2004, and I'm like, I started playing in 98. So that's like, let me go back to my 98 roster and see
what. Like 01, 02. I'm not that far behind.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the going for two groups, I think I'm one of the oldest as far as playing. I think Mike has me beat a little bit. He played back when I think his first pick ever was Randall Cunningham. So you can kind of figure out how far he went back. All right, guys, let's go around the room here and get our Twitter handles. Gerson, we'll go to you first and plug your show one more time.
Wait, am I the only one that gives that Forgotten Player?
Yep, you're the only one. Just the guest.
Cool. I was waiting for you guys. I'm like, all right, do they got one too? I mean, then you guys pick one for 16 weeks. That's a lot of players.
It's a lot of players, yeah. We've been reminding everybody about everybody.
I forget people from like a week ago. It's all good.
Yeah. I want to forget you. OJ Howard for the rest of my life. The Fantasy G podcast, that's where I'm at on all podcast network. The Fantasy G pod on Twitter and on the Facebook group, the Fantasy G podcast / DFS roundtable.
Yeah, and I will say, I know a lot of these guys listen tonight are all the season long guys. If you do play DFS, that Facebook group, the DFS roundtable / Fantasy G podcast is a great place to learn if you haven't started playing, or if you're playing and you're just kind of a beginner. Jason and Gerson do a great job posting some stuff on Sundays. You know, they give their cash game picks, their DPP picks. They tell you how to build a roster, so it's a great group to be part of. A lot of interaction, so definitely if you're on Facebook, go join that group. Ryan, where can we find you at?
You can find me here, goingfor2.com. Find the Armchair Fan Show every Tuesday on season long. You can find my waivers on articles every Tuesday as well. I'm also writing, covering the SEC for the Dynasty Draft Network.
All right, good stuff. And of course, I'm Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can find me here every Tuesday and Friday night, as well as on goingfor2.com. And I also write a weekly column for fantasypros.com as well. That's it, guys. That's a wrap. Have a good night.